This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 5 o'clock.
I don't know if this is a good
time. It's a terrible idea.
This is... But I think I can do it.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
Zing, bang, boom.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is your Sports Bros here Thursday on Super Wild Card Weekend. Rop. That's me. Big Sook is right over there.
Right here.
Our resident insurrectionist.
Sada.
We only have 1 hour of radio broadcast left for you today because the Oregon-UCLA game begins in 1 hour.
Yes. Well, so, it doesn't begin. The pregame begins in 1 hour. Tip, I believe, 6:30.
I was just looking at UCLA. They're number 3 in the country, huh?
I think USC is like 5th. And Arizona was top 10. I don't know if they still are.
UCLA's only loss was to Gonzaga. That Gonzaga game. I remember watching that. Well, that Gonzaga, they're real good.
Yes. Yes, they are.
They beat them by 20.
Baylor's still number one, right? They're undefeated?
Baylor, unbeaten. Baylor, back at number one. They won the championship last year, too.
Yes, they did.
The NCAA tournament right around the corner.
Which I will never root for Baylor, so go pound sand.
That's right. You pound sand, Baylor.
Penn State and Baylor, that's a no rootsies for me. Can't do it.
So David Coley is out in Houston. We will discuss that. And we have fun with college football audio because Kayvon Thibodeau was discussing why he chose Oregon over Alabama. What are you laughing at?
I think he is he's a very smart young man. I think he's getting dragged for, you know, making an honest mistake, but
what did he do?
He was talking about education and he was crapping all over Alabama, and he's claiming that the reason he didn't go to Alabama as opposed to Oregon was for the education, which,
he said a word incorrectly while talking about how football players are viewed as dumb.
Yes, he said stigmatism, and he wanted to say stigma. So,
and then he said it again.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to hear it.
Yeah.
We've already spoiled it for you, though, in case you have to get out of your car. But we have the audio.
Look, it's a long, rambling thing that makes no sense, but whatever.
Well, I'm seeing it here. It's like 2 minutes. That's not too long. You've rambled longer than
He's
that.
He's really poo-pooing this clip. He doesn't want to hear
he
it.
He sure is.
I am not. Klatt apologized for it, though.
What? Why?
Because Klatt's the one interviewing him.
I don't like Joel Klatt anymore.
And Klatt is saying that Klatt just sat there and nodded like an otter.
But what's he supposed to do?
As opposed to pushing back.
What's he supposed to do? Hey, you're an idiot. Look, we all know why you went to Oregon.
Look, but it's one thing if you went to Stanford and you're saying I went to Stanford because Alabama's education, but, you know, come on. It's
all right, well, you're going to hear that.
It's a bit much.
Right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the Fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Real quick, sports apology. Baylor lost. Look at all the college basketball fans.
Oh, Baylor lost just had to be this week because last week they were undefeated.
Yeah, they were up big on Texas Tech, and Texas Tech came all the way back and beat them.
Suck it, Baylor.
Texas Tech. They also beat Kansas. They must be pretty good.
By the way, Arizona 6, so Pac-12 has 3, 5, and 6.
Look at that. Look at that. Still don't care. Call me in March. Wait, don't call me. Text me.
Well, if I do call you, you won't answer.
This is correct. Well, it is a big one for the Oregon men's basketball program tonight. They are at number 3 UCLA, and then I think, what is that, Saturday they play at number 5 USC.
I believe you are correct.
So two big games here down in SoCal. The Ducks have cleared the COVID. They have won 3 in a row, and so, you know.
Well, and this is kind of what I'm not saying Oregon's coming back to make a Final Four or anything, but we've seen this before where Oregon has some rocky starts, and I'm telling you, that damn brush down there, Dana Altman, by the end of the year, he always gets those guys playing, and it's a different team.
Yeah, so the Ducks are 9-6 overall. This one will be on ESPN, but like you said, you know, if they win one of these two games,
it's a game changer.
Here we go.
Yeah.
We also have the Beavers tonight, I think. Are they playing somebody?
I do believe the Beavs are playing someone.
My Beavs, Wayne Tinkle.
The Tinkler?
They're 3-11.
Yeah, it's not.
Jesus.
It's not going so good.
Yeah, they're playing USC.
Yeah.
Mm. I bet the Beavs win.
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
That's my prediction.
No. Number 4.
Major League Baseball owners made a proposal to players for the first time since the lockout date in early December. And here's news. The players didn't like it.
What?
Their reaction reportedly was not positive, and the offer did not move negotiations forward. The question now is, how soon will players counter? The owners are dead set on not moving free agency from 6 years to 5 years. They think it'll hurt competitive balance due to small market jumpers, you know, that whole thing. So that's where it stands.
Yeah.
So we'll wait for the players and see what they say.
Yeah, and there's some other things as well in there. Kind of a laundry list. A lot of it has to do with like percentages as well. But
the players want to be able to smoke weed on the field.
Wouldn't that be something?
Owners probably give a little bit on that.
Probably. My guess is that we won't have any sort of traction on this until we get up against at least spring training.
I hope they ask for the Gator Pit in center field, the thing we've been talking about.
See, now that...
You think the owners would give it to him?
Now that makes it a little more
interesting. I don't think it should be a Gator Pit. I think it should be random alligators on the field.
Yeah.
Players, that you have to avoid.
Players might, well,
I thought it was like different scary animals all over the field.
Yeah,
like,
but it's not a pit. It's like random. You never know where they're going to be.
Just chained up.
Yeah. No, free.
Free, roaming.
Yeah.
Got to keep an eye on
them. There's like beehives on both foul poles.
Well, you know what? I bet you that the owners, you know, they might be willing to give on the free agency if the players were willing to give on dangerous animals in the outfield.
Blazers Nuggets tonight on TNT in Denver. Red hot Anfernee Simons. The Blazers are, and rightly so, cooling him off. They're like, he's out due to personal reasons.
The Blazers don't have anyone.
Yeah,
like
good.
Their entire lineup is gone.
Perfect.
I think Mike Lynch, if he was down there, may get some PT tonight.
Watch him win. Interim GM Joe Cronin hired an assistant GM today. His name is Andre Patterson. He comes over from Cleveland.
Yeah, so they're saying that this may be an indicator that it is Cronin's job, certainly to lose.
He spent 4 years in Utah's front office, did this Patterson guy. Damian Lillard had successful surgery this morning on that ab injury. The procedure was done in Philadelphia. He will be reevaluated in 6 weeks. We do have Bucks Warriors tonight. Good game.
Yeah.
And it is not a good game because Milwaukee is up 24 early in the second quarter. It is 48-24.
The Warriors have hit a little bit of a skid here. A
little bit.
I mean, they were cruising for a while, and it's
Clay's back though.
Maybe that's why. Let's blame Klay Thompson.
We have the first big-ish trade of the season. The Hawks have dealt Cam Reddish to the Knicks for a first-round pick and Kevin Knox.
I see what you did there, by the way. Well played.
Reddish, the odd man out in Atlanta. They have a lot of youngs, and so he wasn't going to get a new deal. So they deal him for Knox, who's been a disappointment in New York. Reddish reunited with former Duke teammate R.J. Barrett, which has led to speculation that the other star from that Duke team, Zion Williamson, could be next. Also, Bol Bol was traded to the Pistons until he wasn't. In a stunning turn of events that will shock all of you, he failed his physical.
Ah.
So he is now back with the Nuggets, and he will be a restricted free agent this summer.
Bol Bol. God, remember the hype around that guy.
Was there?
Yes, there was.
I don't think there was.
When he came to Oregon, that was a big deal.
Yeah, at Oregon, but yes. not in the NBA.
No, God, no. He was a second-round pick.
My number one
It's a guy that may have benefited from sticking around in college a little bit.
And we have another NFL coach fired today. Texans have turfed David Coley after just one season. He went 4-13. Now, the reports are three candidates have emerged there in Houston. Patriots linebackers coach Gerard Mayo, Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, and former Dolphins coach Brian Flores. It should be noted that Houston's GM Jack Easterby is friends with Flores, who is a hot item. Flores expected to interview with the Bears tomorrow.
Easterby, by the way, is one of the worst people in the NFL. But I'm asking dead serious here with the David Coley thing. So they owe him $17 million.
Whoa.
For the next 3 years.
Really?
Yes. So he will get paid $22 million to coach the Houston Texans for 1 year.
Great gig.
One. Right? And so he went, he won four games, right? What?
He actually did a pretty good job.
That's my point. What more could David Coley have done with what you gave him, right? I mean, that was the worst roster with no quarterback. And even that, he was having to scramble to find quarterbacks. What more would you have wanted him to do? What more could he have done with that roster?
I'll attempt to build a case on why the David Coley thing was actually smart.
I mean, it's ridiculous. If that's the case, then why the hell did you hire him in the first place?
Well, I'll tell you, but we can't do it right now.
Okay.
We will discuss this, though. Also, I wanted to point out, I have hot woman news. Oh. the Vikings, you know them?
Yes.
They need a GM. They are interviewing the NFL's highest-ranking female for its GM spot.
Yes.
Her name is Catherine Raichy.
Would be the first GM, female GM in the NFL.
That is incorrect. She would be the second.
There is a female general manager in the NFL?
Not currently, but the Eagles in the 80s, the owner hired his wife as GM. Man. Or maybe it was his daughter. Man. Oh, you don't count that, huh?
Was she the GM?
She was. Huh. She was the GM in the 1980s in Philly. This woman is 33 years of age. Very young. Yeah. Too young for you. And she's the VP of football operations for the Eagles.
Look at that. So we've got a couple assistant coaches.
How about that?
There's refs. What do we just saw? There's one in baseball now, right? We had a general manager in baseball.
I'm waiting for the female quarterback.
That was Helen Hunt. She already did it. QB princess. Look it up.
Saturdays are made for football. Crack a Coors Light. Forget about your 9-to-5 and focus on the Ducks. 4th and 1. Hot 5-to-5 brought to you by Coors Light. Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Okay, we'll get this Kayvon Thibodeau audio in coming up next. And then we'll discuss David Coley's firing in Houston. It is 512 on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards?
Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, now to Kayvon Thibodeau. Ducks pass rusher, he's going pro. Maybe the number one pick?
Oh, no.
Oh, not anymore?
I'll be stunned if he ends up being the number one pick.
Really?
And yeah, I will.
I thought he was like projected to be the number one pick all season.
I will be stunned.
It'll be a quarterback,
I will
right?
be stunned if he ends up being the number one pick. In fact,
it will definitely not be a quarterback.
Really? It's always a quarterback.
There's really no good quarterbacks.
There's not a lot of good quarterbacks.
Best quarterback in the class.
Matt Corral.
Corral or the kid from Liberty, people Malik are pretty Wills. High on, but yeah. It's
also
not,
the pick guy, Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, it's not a great class for quarterbacks.
It's either going to be Thibodeau or the Hutchinson. Is that the other pass rusher?
Yeah, Aiden
Suit
Hutchinson.
Just said Thibodeau won't be the number one pick.
Well, he thinks that after he goes through the combine and stuff, he's going to slide a little bit. But
I think he will fall. I do. I think that.
Did you watch him this year? He wasn't as impactful as he was.
He never has been. This is my point with Thibodeau. And people are going to take this as a hating thing, and it's not. The guy's tremendously talented, and he's really good. But I think he is a little bit of a product of he's got a name. He was the number one overall recruit, and the media loves to hype him up. And this is what I think Herb Street, I think, is the one that said it. It was like week 5 or 6. He just flat out said, he goes, look, he's a good player, but if you think he's the best player in college football, he's not even the best defensive end. He's not the best player. He's not the best defensive player. He's not even the best edge rusher in all of football. There's 3 or 4 guys that are better than he is, starting with Aiden Hutchinson at Michigan.
Well, he still could be a great pro, though.
Yeah, he could be, and he will go high. Don't get me wrong, but this is not a generational talent, and I just have a hunch that when he goes through the draft process, and remember, what people tell you about someone is different than what NFL teams think of someone. I wouldn't be shocked if he falls. I'm not going to say he's going to fall like to the 15th overall pick, but I do not think he is as valued by some NFL teams, by a lot of NFL teams, the same way that we have made him out to be.
I saw there was an O-lineman who's a possible number one pick as well.
You're talking about Evan Neal from Alabama?
I don't know if it was him, but I did see a mock draft because most of them I've been reading have been saying Hutchinson, Thibodeau, 1-2.
So there's a center from Iowa who's really good, Linderbaum, who is really, really high.
God, there's always a center from Iowa.
Always a center from Iowa.
A center will never go number one.
No, he won't go no number one overall. I'm assuming you're talking about Evan Neal, who's the tackle from Alabama.
Yeah, I might tackle. Be, yeah.
Who's pretty high. And then you got a couple receivers out of Ohio State that are good. Stingley Jr., is the corner out of LSU. The safety out of, what's his first name? Hamilton is the safety out of Notre Dame is really high.
All right.
So there's not a consensus number one okay. guy.
But you don't think it's going to be Thibodeau?
I don't think it's going to be Thibodeau.
Bucks 60, Warriors 30.
Yikes.
How about that?
Paya!
I think when you put on his tape, I don't think it's as impressive as...
All right.
As it could be.
So Thibodeau was on some show with Joel Klatt.
Yes.
I don't know what show this is, but it was on Fox. And the clip is making the rounds because, well, Thibodeau is not, well, he just kind of, he's not as articulate as he wants to be here.
No, but he's a very, very smart kid. In fact, he's like a 3, you know, he's one of the better academic guys. I think he might be an all Pac-12 academic guy.
But
he's not dumb.
He's talking here about why he chose Oregon over Alabama. And, of course, this has caused a bit of a stir.
You're going to be a superstar in the NFL, but for guys that aren't, it means something that they're a Crimson Tide.
Can I give you a perspective?
Yes.
If I gave you a fishing pole, would you know how to use it?
No. I don't fish.
You don't fish. So if I've never learned or if school has never been important to me or a job or a career has never been important until I was done playing football, how would I know how to go get a career or a job?
That's a great point.
I won't.
I think it's been one of my arguments for a long time that we don't have mandatory financial planning classes in, you know, like
and it's
for,
not even,
for every kid in college football, they should be in in classes that teach them how to operate their finances and things
you,
of that.
You know what I sat back and I thought about? I thought about it and I said, what world do I want to be a part of? Literally, I sat back and said, if I go to Alabama, I'm going to win national championships. Literally. I said, but do I want to be a guy who's known to be a national championship winner? Or do I want to be a guy who's known for being a part of the greatest organization in the world? You know what I mean? And what people don't realize is that football is an American sport. So no matter how great Alabama is, we only play football in America and maybe a couple Canada and a couple other places. But a brand like Nike, I mean, for me, it was like, what brand associations do I want to be tied to?
Sure.
You know what I mean? And for me, I already hate the stigmatism of football players being dumb jocks.
Totally.
So now, do you know what the That's stigmatism of Alabama education? It ain't the West Coast.
No.
You know what I mean? It ain't,
I
it ain't Harvard.
No, I
so
hear
for
you.
For me, I have to look at it and say, I'm only going to be in college for 3 years. Like I said, if I would have went to Alabama, I probably would still be there. And we wouldn't be sitting here today. Two, I probably wouldn't have graduated yet. And three, I don't know if my degree would mean anything. Mm. And there's no guarantee. I think Oregon might be the only place where you are guaranteed. And it's not, I wouldn't say it's a guarantee. But there is a 90% chance that if you want to, a Nike opportunity is there.
Mm.
And there's a guarantee that if you play football at Oregon, you can work in the corporate Nike world. That's a guarantee. And Phil Knight, I could call him and he'd tell you that today.
Well,
why? Because he's so invested in the future.
Well, you clearly have a great perspective.
Okay. So he did say, and you're right, it is unfortunate.
It's unfortunate that he said people are going to drag him.
Because it's just a clip right in there where he says the stigmatism of dumb jocks being dumb or whatever. Yeah. Well, stigma, not stigmatism. So that is no good. And of course, Alabama fans going to have a heyday with that. And it's a little bit of a shot.
Well, and that's what Klatt apologized for, because when he said that he called Alabama's education a joke, and Klatt went,
right.
And that's,
I think he wasn't very articulate.
No.
But he was trying to say, I don't even think he was trying to say the Oregon education is better than the Alabama education. All he's talking about is the connection at Nike and that Nike is global.
Yeah.
It's an international company and with worldwide tentacles. And so I think he said he was trying, he fumbled it. But he was trying to say that that's why he chose Oregon over Alabama, and that's fair.
Because he wanted to be more than just a football player.
Yes.
He wanted to have connections just beyond that.
I'm guessing that there are going to be some people that are going to take that. And this is Trent Dilfer always says this. Do you love football or do you love what football brings you? And I think some people are going to hear that and say, well, you don't want to win national title. You'd rather be known as someone that's a brand than someone that wins national championships. And I do think there are going to be people that are going to look at him as someone that maybe is more interested in off the field stuff than being dominant on. And then when you watch the film and he doesn't always pop at you and he doesn't always play up to the levels that he's capable of playing, I think there are going to be some red flags there for someone that is in this more for what he just said, the off-field stuff, than on. And that's fine because
it's not like he picked like Maryland.
No,
he picked a school that had a chance to win a title.
He has been so dominant his entire life. But when you get to the next level, he is not good enough to be Randy Moss. Where, look, you can make the argument that Randy may not have, put everything into it, but he was that special. And I'm not certain that he is. Hopefully I'm wrong. And hopefully the guy just goes out and lights it on fire because he's got all the talent in the world. He really does. I just think that may be problematic. And I think that clip there for some people, whether it's fair or not, because this happens all the time in the draft, like with Mariota being too quiet or Herbert being too smart, right? Some of those things are ridiculous and they're still used against him. I think some of this will be used against him. Cause I think from high school, I think everyone has had the idea that he was in this for something other than being a great football player. And the truth of the matter is you can be both. You can be in it for yourself and you can be in it to make money and position yourself as a brand and be in it to be a dominant football player. And hopefully that's what this is he's choosing both and not making one more important than the other.
Well, he could have said it better.
Yes.
Which is why it's making the rounds and, you know, Alabama fans getting all bristly about it. But I have no problem with that. It's like, of course, that's the allure of the Oregon brand for an elite player like Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking that, too, at the end. He was like, well, you're guaranteed. I can call Phil Knight. Well, you're Kayvon Thibodeau, okay? Yeah. The backup offensive lineman, you know, is he calling Phil Knight? I mean, I'm sure there are opportunities because you're at Oregon and you're so close and you make those relationships.
Yeah, you get your foot in the door, but you're not getting a great, you know.
Kayvon Thibodeau, he's not wrong. He probably can do whatever he wants with Nike because he has shown that he's interested in that, and he has sort of laid that groundwork his whole time while at Oregon.
But again,
he's an elite player who's about to make a lot of money in the NFL.
But again, the problem is that if you don't back it up and become an all-pro, then it doesn't matter, right? You have to be able
the
to
Nike
go,
thing?
The Nike thing, right? Thibodeau has to go in at the next level and produce 12 sacks or 10 sacks. Otherwise, you're just another guy. And that's the thing, is it just doesn't, you know, Jadeveon Clowney has ended up with a really nice career in the NFL, don't get me wrong. But he's not Lawrence Taylor. And the opportunities, whether Clowney went to Oregon or not, or South Carolina, wherever, they're not going to come to you the same way that a Myles Garrett or a TJ Watt.
That's true. But I also think that isn't he saying, hey, you know, even if I'm not, he didn't say anything about the NFL, but even if he doesn't do great in the NFL, one of the things that drew him to Oregon was the bigger picture idea of being with Nike and being at a global company, which I think whether he does anything in the NFL or not, he's going to have those opportunities because, like I said, he's already been laying that groundwork the whole time he's been at Oregon.
Yeah.
I mean, Phil Knight didn't he create a company for him?
Well, yeah. They did an NFT together.
The NFT thing?
I think the company was like some sort of crypto thing, and I don't know if that was through Nike or not. I don't think it was, but the NFT stuff was, you know, Tinker Hatfield did like a digital art thing for him, which certainly, there's... You can make the argument that Oregon can offer something that very few schools can, and that is the Nike thing. And that part,
particularly
I agree
to a player like him, who's five-star, high profile, and you know, top pick in the NFL draft. So,
which is why I said I don't think what he said necessarily was terrible. I just think it was unfortunate that he had the
Needed to say it in a better way.
It wasn't the for clarity's sake, but. You know, like I said, he's a very, very talented guy, and hopefully he goes to the next level and is dominant. I just don't think, and this is all I'm saying, I don't think he's a slam dunk. And there's very few slam dunks in football, but I don't think he is a generational talent. In fact, like if we're just talking Oregon linemen, DeForest Buckner to me was a better collegiate player than Kayvon Thibodeau. He just was. I thought he was a more dominant player, but he didn't come in with the hype, and he wasn't a consensus All-American. But so much of college, when you get these, is building that kind of brand name. And that I will give him credit for. From high school through college, whether it was him or whether it was the Oregon machine, man, they marketed him and they made him a household name. And, you know, he's probably made $1 million before he ever steps foot on an NFL field. And good for him. He has taken full advantage of his situation at Oregon.
All right. David Coley fired in Houston. What?
What?
Here's Mike.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor.
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, we thought maybe David Coley saved his job. You know, Davis Mills, he's all right. They won four games.
I thought they, for what they had to deal with, realized that they brought him in, gave him a terrible roster. They put this hardline thing where they were trying to change the culture in there. They were suspending players. They were fining players. They cut one of them. I'm trying to remember who it was that they chopped. Oh, Zach Cunningham was cut for violating team rules. And he had to play with his third string quarterback because his all-pro quarterback refused to play and his backup was hurt all year. So with all of that going on and you fired him after 1 year, that's one of two things. It's either that you are just an absolute inept organization or you brought in David Culley just to burn him up and then knowing that he was going to be gone in a year or two, kind of Jim Tom Sula like.
Yeah, there it is. That's it.
And that's crap.
Well, that's what they did though. And you could argue, like I said, I'll try to defend the indefensible here. You could argue that that was a better way to go than to hire someone and really string someone along, because we all knew when Coley got hired, it was like, what? Who is they're clearly tanking. Deshaun Watson's not playing. They have no roster. This poor guy wouldn't sniff a head coaching job if it weren't for the situation in Houston. So he took the money. We all knew why he was hired. He was a lame duck hire, and he was going to be gone in a year or two when their guy became available. Well, what happened? Brian Flores, who's buddies with the GM, is now on the market. Yeah. And you have to wonder if they were going to hold on to Coley until Flores got fired. And then they were like, well, wait a minute, maybe we can go get Flores. So because Flores has ties to Deshaun Watson, and maybe they're trying to repair that whole situation. I don't know. But, you know, you could argue it was smart to hire a guy like this with a roster like that and then pounce when you're ready.
Yeah, he got.
But see, he didn't, though.
He got dealt a really, really dirty
hand. But he knew what he was getting into, though. See, that's the thing is when David Coley takes a job like that, he knows what he's getting into. He just takes the opportunity. He's like, I'll do the best I can. He knows the roster sucks. He knows Deshaun Watson's not going to play. And by the way, he got $22 million to do it. So the joke's on Houston, not him.
You know what? That is defend the indefensible.
That's the best I can do.
And you know what? It's not a bad defense. I'll give you a tip of the cap on that one.
You think he's really beat up about this?
I do, because when, especially with the number of minority coaches in the NFL being as small as it is, and you get hired as one, and you get hired as a guy that's the definition of a token coach that's being brought out to be a sacrificial lamb, and now this is a stain on you, and you may never get another crack at this again. Yeah.
Yeah, but he knew that, though.
I do think that sucks, and I think that that burns him, and I don't think that he is thrilled about it.
Well, I feel like, I mean, I don't know David Coley from Adam, and I do think it sucks that the two latest coaches that have been fired are two of the three black head coaches in the NFL, and both of them, you could argue, did very good jobs.
They didn't deserve
it.
Right?
So that's BS. And that's something that I know a lot of people are talking about, and it's right to point that out.
Yeah.
At the same time, you can't tell me David Coley didn't know what he was getting into when he took that job. That guy was lucky to be a head coach because he was not going to sniff anywhere else. It was clear that was a perfect fit for what Houston was bringing to the table, which was absolutely nothing. And maybe he doesn't think like that because, he's got an ego too. And he's like, well, maybe I can turn this around. But I don't think anybody in their right mind knew or thought that David Coley was being hired to be a long-term guy to turn around the Houston Texans. Yeah. We all knew that when he got hired, and you know he knew it too, but $17 million is pretty hard to turn down.
Yeah. Well, and you're in your 60s, and I guess that's probably his. He's been a long time assistant coach at all different kinds of places, and I just know that's his one opportunity. And I would have.
And he did a good job, though.
Exactly,
and that's the thing.
I think it stinks that he didn't get a chance. It's his only chance to ever be a head coach.
Well, I agree with that.
They didn't give him a chance to see if he could turn it around.
No, I agree with that. But I think that he can hold his head high. Dude, he was given – that's the worst coaching position in the NFL in years.
Yeah.
Except maybe the Chip Kelly Niners when he took over, or Tom Sula. Yeah, Jim Tom Sula, you brought him up. That he was one of these guys.
Yes.
Where they're basically sacrificial lambs, and everybody knows it, but they get paid. And genuinely, they do get the opportunity to coach and lead a football team. And quite frankly, David Coley, with what he was given, did a pretty damn good job of it. Yeah. So – does that mean he should be the coach moving forward? Coley wasn't going anywhere with the Texans.
I just look at that organization now, led by the McNairs, and you got this Easterby guy, which look into him. That guy is the definition of a crook and a fraud. I don't know if there's a worse organization right now in the NFL, and that's saying something, than the Houston Texans. And I know maybe Flores takes that job because he was in New England with Easterby, but
he shouldn't.
Boy, I would, if I was a coach that had options, that's the last place.
Exactly.
That's the last place in the NFL I would go.
Which is why David Coley was hired.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
So he's the 11th head coach since 2000 who's been fired after one season.
Yeah.
Can you name any of the other 10?
Yeah. Raheem Morris was fired in 1 year.
Negative.
No, I thought he got 1 year in
2 years.
He got 2 years?
Yeah.
Maybe
a year and a half.
Tom Sula was fired.
This is correct. He went 5-11.
Yeah, he was canned. Who was the Arizona guy that got canned?
Steve Wilks. He went 3-13.
I remember that.
And fired.
That he was canned.
Raheem Morris got 3 seasons.
Did he?
Yeah.
Why did I think that he got so few?
Well, he was the interim in Atlanta, and then they fired. He got 11 games as interim in Atlanta, and then they did not bring him back. But in Tampa, he got 3 seasons. Huh. Went 10-6.
Wasn't there a Browns coach that was one and done?
Let's take a look here, Mike.
Like Chudzinski or something like that?
No Browns coach on here. Believe it or not.
I felt like they went through like 3 and 3 years at one point.
Well, that thing is a whole
They're actually
mess. Oh, well, Urban, right? Urban's a one and done.
Yep.
I'm trying to think if there's anyone. How many have I?
You have two.
There's two left?
No.
What?
He was the 11th head coach.
Oh, the 11th.
You have named two, Tom Sula and Urban.
I thought we got more than that.
Well, you got Wilkes, sorry.
Yeah. Tom. I didn't know his name, but it was the Arizona guy.
There's another guy. There are two guys. One guy went 9-7. Actually, one guy was 9-7. He had a winning record, only one.
Was Chip only 1 year in San Francisco?
Chip was 1 year, 2-14.
Okay, so Chip was the 1 year. I'm trying to think. Petrino was 1 year. In Atlanta?
No. He's not on here. No. I think Petrino left his second year, didn't he?
Maybe.
Middle of the second year, right?
It's possible. I don't know. I'm struggling trying to come up with anyone else.
Okay, you also have Mike Mularkey of the Jags. One season, 2-14.
Who the hell remembers Mike Mularkey?
I didn't even know he was the head coach of the Jags.
Yeah.
I remember him at the Titans.
1 year. Hugh Jackson of the Raiders went 8-8, turfed.
He only got 1 year?
Yep.
He got a bunch of years in Cleveland.
Jim Mora, Seahawks, 4-12.
I should have remembered the
Mora. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Cam
Cameron, Dolphins, 1-15.
No, I don't remember that. Was Philman there more than?
Oh, yeah. He was there for a couple
years.
Was he
there for a couple?
Bobby Petrino, by the way, first year, you're right.
Yeah.
3-10.
Yeah.
But he wasn't fired. I think this list is fired.
He quit.
He quit.
Yeah, he quit in the middle of the first year.
Yeah. Art Shell, Raiders, 2-14 in 2006. Marty Schottenheimer with the Washington Redskins.
Oh, yeah.
8-8. I forgot they hired him.
Look at the list of the Washington coaches. You were talking about this the other day about bad organizations. Look through Washington's coaches. It's just been, I talk about like turnover there. And there's been some ones that in the past that have been successful. That's another one that I'm not certain that I would take that job. Because the history of that thing is just it's a mess.
And then you have the one winning coach was for the Jets in 2000. Al Groh went 9-7.
Oh, yeah.
And he got fired. Also, Freddie Kitchens, late ad. Somebody added, this list must be a little bit old.
Yeah.
It didn't have him from 2 years ago. He went 6-10 in Cleveland. So there is a Browns coach on there.
Okay.
Freddie Kitchens. So 13, in all 13 head coaches since 2000 have been fired after one season.
So after Gibbs with Washington, you know, they obviously tremendous success. They went with Richie Pettibone, Norv Turner, Terry Robiski, Marty Schottenheimer, you mentioned 1 year, Steve Spurrier, Joe Gibbs, Jim Zorn, Mike Shanahan, Jay Gruden, Bill Callahan, and now Ron Rivera.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bill Callahan?
Yeah, Bill Callahan. It's just, you know, it's just been one thing after another. It's just been an absolute dumpster. And if Rivera doesn't get it turned around in another year or two, watch him be gone. Maybe they'll keep him because it was a PR move because Rivera is such a good guy and their reputation is mud. That's one of the reasons they brought him in. They even said it is because he had such an outstanding character.
All right, so another NFL opening. The Texans need a coach now. Coley fired. So was that seven, eight openings?
I think this is eight. Well, if you count the Raiders.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't because they think it's Bisaccia's job.
All right, a little Nick Saban audio wraps it up next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law.
On 1080 The Fan.
The Bucks lead the Warriors 77-38 at half.
They have 77 at the half?
They do, or they did. It is now 82-44. I looked it up on scoreboard app. The spread at the half was Warriors plus 31.5.
Yikes.
And I didn't have the Nets to take that.
Yeah, shame on you.
Is it?
There's a run coming. It's the NBA.
Well, you would think that, but they probably pulled everybody and mail it in. That,
yeah, although Klay Thompson's still in the game.
Quick Saban audio before we go here. We got to turn it over to Duck Basketball, but Saban is being lauded for this.
Oh, is this the wait? He pulled Anderson and Bryce.
Yeah. No. That was nice. What you're talking about is a clip where Nick Saban, you know, he's got a little Roy Williams in him. Like he just, you know, there is something about him that you think he genuinely does care about these kids. And
to an extent.
Yeah. Like I feel like he's done a pretty good job of helping his reputation along over the last handful of years of being less red assy, you know, not Bill Belichick who hates everyone. the clip you're talking about, Saban, They let Bryce Young and
Will Anderson
go from the press conference after the Georgia loss, and he says, "Hold on, guys, don't go anywhere." And he says really nice things about him for a minute, and saying these guys are great and winners and this and that. And you know, it was a nice moment.
Yep.
This is him talking about Jameson Williams, the wide receiver who hurt himself during the game. It came back out of the locker room, and they didn't know for sure they had a torn ACL. But you can see Nick Saban saying to Kirby Smart after the game, they think Williams has an ACL, but we won't know for sure.
And it turns out it was indeed an ACL.
It was an ACL. And so Saban is being lauded for keeping Williams out of the game in the second half. He wanted to go back in.
All right. Well, he has a knee injury. We won't know the extent of the knee injury until we get an MRI. He actually wanted to play in the second half, and the medical staff, you know, wouldn't let him, which I think was smart. Because he has a future as a football player. Look, this guy contributed tremendously to our team all year. He has great speed. He's a vertical threat. I think our offensive coaches did a great job of utilizing his talent this year. He's been very productive. So anytime you lose players like this, it has an impact on your team. Yeah, it gives other players opportunities, and I'm not disappointed in how they responded to that, but there's no question that you win with great players. You win with great people. And he's been a great person and a great player on our team all year long. So when you take him out of the lineup, it has to have some impact.
So Saban's being lauded for like, oh, the kid wanted to go back in, and oh, he's such a – he cares about him so much in his NFL career that he wouldn't put him back in. He had a torn ACL, and they knew exactly. That. I mean, they don't know that, but they know you it. Do know that. Yes. And it's like there's no way they're going to – I mean, should he be lauded for that? I mean, if he let him go back in, he would be the worst person on earth.
And by the way, if they let him go back in, he would have run one route.
Exactly. It's like
– we had a –
Saban, he's just such a great guy.
Yeah, I had a running back at BYU that tore his ACL, but it wasn't a full tear, and maybe Williams wasn't either. And they put a brace on it, and he attempted, and I think he ran the ball for like half a yard. And he was like, oh, yeah, my ACL's torn. Let's get you out of the game, and we'll get you stitched up. Yes, stupid. Let's not make Nick Saban out to be Mother Teresa
what
here.
What a hero.
Yes.
God.
Wouldn't let him go back in. But we just watched his knee explode on national TV. You could see it.
All right. Well, no club tonight, guys and gals.
Sorry about that.
They and them. You will not hear a club. We will have one tomorrow, though. Can't wait for tomorrow's show. Big Super Wild Card Weekend preview. We got Joey Harrington on our show. It's going to be great. But up next is Oregon Ducks basketball. They are taking on number 3 UCLA down in L.A. Do they still call it Pauley Pavilion?
I believe that is the case.
Still where they play. So that's next. We are back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!